Okay.
All right. So we're in the book of Chronicles here. Now I'm reading from the Living Bible. I mentioned that for us. I mean, for other people. But this is Kenneth Taylor's 1972 version, whatever. But anyway, so if it sounds a little different, that's because we're using the Living Bible. But anyway, Chronicles, it means a record, you know, so that's what they're doing. It'd be crazy to have a book called Chronicles and we know it's a lie to begin with. Now, remember, notice how far Chronicles is. I like to point this out. It's way down here. This is like Genesis, Exodus, the Bible, the books, and all of a sudden Chronicles right here. Oh, well, there wouldn't be anything to chronicle if you started here. But although verse 1 says these are the generations, the earliest generations of mankind, starting back with Adam. Jesus believed that. We weren't amoebas, you know. Those things about evolution don't fit the Bible. That's the reason it's great for people who believe in evolution. They can say, well, the Bible's a myth. No, it's not. See, they want to exclude it because they want to believe it's billions of years. Right now, it's about five. Everything is 5 billion years old. No evidence for that. Were you there? No. But they get mad at you. Well, being angry is not evidence. I agree. Let's figure it out. And we all share the same evidence. You see something dead that's called a fossil. The only thing you can learn from that is something died. That's all you know. You know. And remember, fossils, we don't become fossils when we die. We disintegrate, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So why do we have a fossil? Something bad happened to the earth. Really, Noah's flood's what I believe, you know. Because it takes pressure and heat, and it was trapped. And the water still seeped in there, and it replaced all the bones and the backbones and everything. It replaced it with concrete, limestone. All of a sudden, you open it up. Well, there's... No, that's not the same bone. It's the design of it, but it's been replaced with limestone. That's what the... And what is so cool is not just one, not just two, but now they're finding several, and they're finding fresh tissue in these dinosaur bones. And, of course, they still say, well, no one has ever seen a dinosaur. It was 70 million years ago. Again, I'm new at this. I'm just looking at the information. Why do people in South America have pictures of dinosaurs on their blankets, on their burial stones? Why do the American Indians have a thing called the Thunderbird? Why did it have that big horn coming out the back of it? Pterodactyl, maybe? Mm-hmm. Why in Utah do they have cave markings and horse, goat, deer, brontosaurus? I can't be so. And just thousands of more evidence everywhere. And besides that, what's the infatuation with dragons? See, they weren't called dinosaurs until the 18th century. It was not even in a dictionary. It just means terrible lizard. That's all dinosaur means. But we've always had dragons, and guess what? The word dragon is in the Bible. Ooh, we have a thing called Leviathan. Ooh, and we got another one, you know, whatever, in there in the book of Job. What is all that about? So anyway, back to this. So we're looking at First Chronicles, and we got all the way to through chapter 14. So we're going to go right with 15. And right now, it's stopped talking about, the genealogy, this dad, this dad, this dad, this dad. We're now picking up with David. King Saul has already died. David is now the king of all of Israel, all 12 tribes. Remember, they tried to move the tabernacle in the previous chapter, and oops, somebody touched the Ark of the Covenant, and they died, okay? So that's where we are right here. David, this is chapter 15, verse 1. David now built several palaces for himself in Jerusalem, and he also built a new tabernacle to house the Ark of God. Now, if you don't know who David is, I know we do. You go back and read about David. Remember how David started? We already knew he could play the harp, all right? Because King Saul wanted him to play the harp for him because... he was losing his mind. Okay. David also, as a little kid, killed Goliath, and we have the details. David said himself, he told the king, he said, hey, I'll go kill that giant. He said, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And David gave all the credit to Jesus. Remember, he said, it was the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear, and he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, O king. Remember that? So David, from this age, we've watched how he's having to run for his life, and the Lord protected him. So look what's going on. He's now king? What happened? Well, you and I are more than conquerors. If we take advantage, you know, like I say, of what Jesus has done for us. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that all the promises of God, not only are they yes, but they've been given to us. All the blessings is what I'm going to say. Ephesians chapter 1. Every blessing ever known belongs to you and I. Praise God. So if you're having a rough day and you go, wait a minute, every blessing in the whole world belongs to me. Wow. Now you could be reading about Abraham. Abraham's blessings are mine. You get to the same point. You go, praise God, I'm going to be all right. David built several palaces. He's got a chalet at Gulf Shores. He's got one in Huntsville. That's what's going on. Several places for himself. This was in the same town, but anyway. He also built, look at this, a new tabernacle to house the Ark of God. Notice it's called tabernacle. It's just a structure because he knew how this thing was built. Issued these instructions. When we transfer the Ark to its new home, no one except the Levites may carry it. Now, how'd he know that? He went and looked it up in the Bible with his staff, the high priest. They knew they did it wrong last time. No one except the Levites may carry it, for God has chosen them for this purpose. They are to minister him forever. Remember, the poles were sitting through that ark. All you had to do was pick it up. The priest did, and they carried it. And when you parked it, the poles stayed there. Anyway, remember, it's called the mercy seat. All that good stuff about it. Then David summoned all Israel to Jerusalem to celebrate. Here we go again. Happy time at church. No, church is supposed to be sad. God's mad at all of us. No, he's not. That brings up why there is an ark. Remember, the Levites were camped around this ark to keep the wrath of God off of us. That is so important to know. Well, what did I do wrong? You were just born, put it that way. Adam was your daddy. Sin had infiltrated, not because you sinned, even though we did. It was Adam's sin that ruined it for all of us. Wrath is just sitting there. I mean, God, he can't take us. But what he did was he designed this, and it's all a representation of what Jesus eventually did. About 1,000 years later than this. You're totally free from the wrath of God. It's not because you sassed your mama or stuff like that. Man, I tell you, you bear the image of Adam. Man, God could not look on. Think about it. When Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. What? Can't we just stay another night? They were thrown out and an angel was standing there with a flaming sword. You're not getting back in here. And that actually was mercy. Remember, God had to make them clothes. They had this fig leaf idea, you know. It'd be like trying to put pine cones together. Maybe this will work. Anyways, here we go. David summoned all Israel to celebrate bringing the ark to its new tabernacle. These were the priests and the Levites present. Look at that. They had records. Yes, he was a king. Why wouldn't they have this record? 120 from Kohath with Uriah as their leader. 220 from the clan of Merah. Asaiah, their leader. 130 from Gershom. Joel is their leader. I'd like to check up on this. Believe me, the more you read, the more you'll believe. 200 from the subclan of Eliphaz and Shemaiah, their leader. Okay, 80 from this and 120. Remember, those are all Levites. Verse 11. Then David called for, there they are, Zadok and Abiathar, the high priest. The Levite leaders, and he named all of them right there. We'll just skip through that. You are the leaders of the clans of the Levite. Look, notice this. He told them. Now, look what else he said. I'm telling you, David, that's what we should do. Read our Bibles. Remember, the Bible says, and I'll tell you, I did this week too. You remember the verse that we always use, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Well, you know, you just simply just commit your way to the Lord. Well, you fix it, whatever, Lord. No, Ask the Lord for his help, and he'll guide you. He'll guide you. That's what they mean by putting the Lord first. Now, when I was a kid, we were told to put the Lord first. You get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, and it's not your will, but his will. So confusing. Just tell a teenager not to be a teenager, basically. You shouldn't be going down to the pizza place every Friday night. You shouldn't be thinking about girls. First thing they should do is think about a girl, then they'd have another prayer problem. You know, they're going to learn. I mean, what? Don't worry about that, you know. Praise God. Wait till they have a heartbreak, and man, I tell you, you'll get close to Jesus real quick.
Oh, I feel like just killing myself. Oh, I'm actually serious about this.
And you, when nobody's there, your friend's tired of you. And then you go, well, they did say Jesus. And you start saying, praise God, God will help me. Boy, you learn a great lesson. Let God carry you as a young person through a problem. Oh, my gosh. Now we just want to go to counseling.
I'm so close to my grandmother, and I just can't face life. Grandmother died.
You go to church? Oh, yes, I go to church. I go to First Baptist, whatever. And they're just wrapping their arms around you. Oh, poor, pitiful you. Poor, pitiful. It's okay. No, it's not okay. How come so-and-so didn't come to church tonight? She's got emotional problems. What's the preacher been doing? And you can't send the preacher over there. It's just everybody at church. They quit believing the Bible. They're believing, I like to say, psychology. Nobody's teaching this. Anyway, well, we are. You are the leaders of the clans of the Levites, he told them. Now sanctify yourselves with all your brothers, so that you may bring home the ark of Jehovah, that the God of Israel, the God of Israel, to the place I prepared for it. The Lord destroyed us, look at this, because we handled the matter improperly. You were not to carry it. Remember the red heifer? Oh yeah, it's in the book of Hebrews. Yeah, it was out of town, sort of outside the camp. There was blood there, and you cleaned yourself up. Now the priest went in the tabernacle. They had to do a blood cleansing too, and they had to get themselves. It was written down. It wasn't like, I don't know what to do. No, step one, come over here. Step two, and they'd put blood of this goat on his ear and on his big toe. That was all sanctifying for the priest, and they did it. And what? And they did it successful. Watch what. So the priests and the Levites underwent the ceremonies of sanctification. See, Richard, why is all that important? Because we don't have to do any of that today. Jesus is our high priest. He did it all. We couldn't keep up with this. And David couldn't keep up with it. He stumbled in on it thinking, I'll get Captain Doodah and Captain Doodah Day to drive the ark. And they did. And Captain Doodah A, when the ark stumbled and all of a sudden the ox stumbled and it was fixed, he couldn't help it. He should have. He reached up there to touch that ark and it killed him. Killed him. But I can't sit here and say, I don't understand it. No, I do understand it. God is a holy God and we have no approach without Jesus. So here we go. So that's what happened. So the priests and the Levites, man, they knew it. They said, hey, wow, we're getting back to the Bible. So they underwent the ceremonies of the sanctuary in preparation to bring home the Ark of Jehovah. Now remember, that Ark represents the presence of Jesus. Anyway, the God of Israel. And not only did he was there. The Levites were carrying the Ark. Look, they did it. Then the Levites carried the Ark on their shoulders with its carrying poles, just as the Lord had instructed Moses. See that? I just think this is a good idea. No, they were doing it by the book. King David also ordered the Levite leaders to organize the, what? Yeah, singers into an orchestra. Wow. And they played loudly. Sorry, Fred Halbreder. You know, Fred's in heaven now. He's learned that loud is good. But he used to think if you banged on them drums right there, that was from the jungle, whatever. Being involved in church all these years too, that's the first thing I heard every time I was singing, turn it down. Anyway, whatever. Loudly, look at this, and joyously upon psalteries and harps, that's basically guitars or something or another, and cymbals. And they had trumpets too. Heman, the son of Joel, Asaph, the son of whatever this guy, Ethan, the clan, they were all the heads of all these singers and musicians. Are you kidding me? Remember, there's hundreds of them. Yeah, heads of the musicians. The following men were chosen as their assistants. It was so much they had to have assistants. These guys here were doorkeepers. Verse 19, a bunch of these guys, look, they were chosen to sound the bronze cymbals. They probably were aluminum. This guy was drunk. No, they knew the details. And Zechariah, Isaiah 20, a bunch of lists. They look at it. They comprised an octet. You know what an octet is? That's eight. There's eight harps. Wow. Matthiah, this guy were the harpist. Wow. The song leader was Shenaniah, and if you've been paying any attention as you've through your life, you've heard these names before. That's where they got them from. They got them out of the Bible. Anyway, the chief of the Levites, who was selected for his skill. Barakiah, whatever, and Elkanah were guards of the ark. What do you need guards for? You just said, don't get too close. It may cost you something. Oh, yeah. Stand back. Anyway, and you can bet the other nations were watching. They knew the story. Ooh, last time we took that ark, we broke out with hemorrhoids. I ain't touching it. All right. These guys, verse 24, Shebaniah, Shophat, whatever. These guys, all whom were priests, look at that. They formed a bugle corps.
What?
Yeah. Dustin was part of a bugle corps before, and I'm telling you what, those guys are so loud. They are so loud. Anyway, they marched at the head of the procession. Anyway, verse 25, David and the elders of Israel and the high officers of the army went with great joy to the home of Obed-Edom, that's where it was sitting, to take the ark to Jerusalem. Now again, I want to point out, with great joy, David didn't have to go to, come on, I know General Patton, this is like pulling teeth, you'd rather be doing something else today, going golfing. No, this meant success for your life, success for everything, no other gods before me. Our Jesus will help us. I do not need anything. Oh, believe me, I will be there. I'm coming. I can't wait. That's what was going on. Today it's like, I don't want to go listen to that preacher bark again. And that's probably what's going on. The preacher's just up there going, blah, blah, blah. All of us are going to go through Revelation, you know. What do you have? Why call Jesus Savior if he's not your Savior? Oh, but it's just take you to heaven. It's more than that. Because when Jesus was on the cross, remember they were making fun of him. It says he was good at saving others, but he can't save himself. What was the high priest and those clowns saying? He was good at taking. They didn't believe there was a heaven. Jesus was saving people out of their all kind of problems they were having all over the place. Remember what John, when he was writing in the book of John, the last, I think there's 21 chapters, the last verse in chapter 20. Yeah, chapter 20. John writes and says, there were so many things Jesus did that the world itself couldn't contain the books to write it down. Well, I don't. Go back and read what you read so far. And every time you see Jairus' daughter raised up, you can bet a bunch of others were raised up too. Oh my gosh. Can you get a hold of Jesus? And Jesus would have said, Mark, I want you to go. Luke, go. And Luke, well, they were later, but I'm just saying Barnabas would have gone or somebody, one of the other disciples. That's Jesus. It's just fantastic. But anyway, so here we go. And because God didn't destroy the Levites who were carrying the ark, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 lambs. David and the Levites carrying the ark, the singers, and Shemaiah, the song leader, were all dressed. Now, here's really what that story was, where David, this is like a see-through garment, whatever, and because you're going to see the story come up. David wore a linen ephod. Okay. So the leaders of Israel took the ark to Jerusalem with shouts of joy, the blowing of horns and trumpets, crashing cymbals. I mean, everybody knew what was going on. But as the ark arrived in Jerusalem, look at this detail. What did we need this for? Because it happened. David's wife, Michal, remember who she was? Her daddy was King Saul. David, if you kill Goliath, you can have this daughter. Well, he didn't know David was going to do it. He could have been half her age. Who knows? Anyway, the daughter of Cecil, the daughter of King Saul, she felt deep disgust. Why? For David, as she watched from the window, oh, man, and saw him dancing like a madman. Now, this story is also somewhere else. We're going straight to the next chapter, chapter 16, but the rest of the details of that story, she said, well, I guess all the maids of Israel got to see you dance around like a common pervert. Other stories tell us that it was like he didn't have any clothes on. But David actually told Michal, he said, hey, I did that because God brought me from nowhere to who I am today, and I'm nothing without him, including clothes. Thank God I don't do that to demonstrate that this morning for y'all. Whatever. I won't keep my clothes on. Y'all just get it. Did you know another guy that did it? Ever heard of a guy by the name of Isaiah? A great chapter in the Bible. A great book in the Bible, Isaiah. God told him, take them all off. Told him, take all his clothes off and walk through town. See, this was during the days of King, right after Hezekiah. Remember those kings were terrible kings. And he said, stroll through town and show them what they're going to look like, because they worship idols. They're going to be hauled off by King Nebuchadnezzar. Don't you know that Isaiah was going, oh, Lord, give me a sign. Did you just tell me that? He did. He read the story. God, stripped down to nothing. That'd get you attention, wouldn't it? All right, here we go. At the conclusion, all right, so they brought the ark to the special tent that David had prepared. The leaders of Israel sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. At the conclusion of these offerings, look at this. David blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Oh, bless them. Bless them. Oh, have a good day. Bless you. There's so much truth and power in that. And David did it right here. Look what else he did. Then he gave every person a present, men and women alike, a loaf of bread, some wine. Ah, oh, you blew it right there. I'm a Baptist. Oh, my gosh. No, he didn't blow it. And a cake of raisins. Wow. He appointed certain of the Levites. Oh, so now we got the church there, or the whatever, the ark there. We can all forget it now. Nope. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark by giving constant praise and thanks to the Lord God of Israel. Now, remember, Jesus is called the Son of David. This stuff matters. Matter of fact, the Lord said, David was a man after my own heart. All we got to do is, I'm going to just do 50% of what David said. Just do 1%. You're following in his tracks. Remember, David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, I got to remember that. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, he remembered it, you know. I mean, there are times we slip and we forget whatever. And David had his problems too, but nonetheless, this is what we have the details for. All right. So look what he said. I want these singers to be singing praise and thanks to the Lord. Look at this. And by asking for his blessings upon his people. Wow. Wow. Okay. Now, you might want to say here, yeah, Richard, I was telling you we need to pay the preacher. Well, yeah, that's good. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some singers up here that we really knew that would be doing this? But nonetheless, wow, David wanted this done. Oh my gosh, we got the names? See, I'm still believing this is fairy tales. Man, I'm not. Look at that. Here's the names. Oh my goodness. Asaph, leader of this detail, sounded the cymbals. His associates were this. Okay, they played the harps and the zithers, okay? The priest, Benaniah, and they played their trumpets regularly. Wow, a couple of guys in there going, wow. Wasn't going to make a difference. Oh, yes, it would. Think about all the time of David, and we know Solomon, and all the time of Solomon, everything was just glorious. And then, poof, it went down. And you know why? They quit all this. And then a good king would come up, let's see, like King Asa or Jehoshaphat. Guess what Jehoshaphat did? Clear out that crap you stuck in the temple, and clean it all out, and get this back rolling again. And man, the church or whatever, they had the blessings of the Lord back again. Then the guy's son, it's so fast. King Hezekiah's son was just, he would, terrible. All right, at that time, David began the custom of using choirs. At that time? Yeah. This was like, hey, it's time to do it. We got singers. Remember, everybody couldn't go in there and see the ark. You couldn't see it. But that group we just saw, they were constantly singing toward that. And now we got choirs. This is for public use. The other one was for just to the Lord. Now we got choirs in the tabernacle to sing thanksgiving to the Lord. Asaph, again, that famous name, was the director of this choral group of priests. Well, I know, surely we could use some women. Well, you could, but look at this. These are men. I don't sing, Richard. But, oh, you don't. Boy, they did. Now, look at this. We can get this. What did they sing? I can use that today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord and pray to Him. Tell the world about His, look at that, mighty doings. See, this is actually in the book of Psalms. You can find this. Sing to Him. Yes, sing to Him. Tell of His marvelous works. Well, He never done anything for me. Well, get back to doing this and watch Him pick up the pace. We're the ones that held it back. glory in his name. Let all who rejoice who seek the Lord. Now, whoa, I got big problems. I'm hurting. Look what it said. Let all. I don't care what your problem is. All will rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek his strength. Seek his face untiring. And I want to say this because I heard preachers, it was almost like God was the Easter bunny putting eggs somewhere. You couldn't find him. You can find him. Remember, the scripture tells us he's near. Also, seek and you shall find. Man, the scripture says he's not far from any of us. O descendants of his servant Abraham, O chosen sons of Jacob. He's just saying everybody. Now, it's Israel, but we're Israel today anyway. Remember his mighty miracles. Boy, that's where the rub is. Man, sometimes my problem is so big, and you've done this too, I forget that he got me out of something worse last year or whatever. And if you'll just remember, praise God, you got me out of that, you'll get me out of this. Don't ever think he won't get you out. Did we read anything yet saying that, well, God likes to put you in the fire? Do you see that yet? It ain't there. Remember his mighty miracles, his marvelous miracles, and his authority. He is the Lord our God. Look at that word, our God. His authority is seen throughout the earth.
I've been bombarding the gates of heaven and God's not responding.
Where'd you get that from? Little House on the Prairie, probably? Michael Landon and some of his stories? Michael Landon does not teach me the Bible.
Yeah, but I really love Bonanza.
Well, I did too. I like Michael Landon, Little Joe. But I'm not going to believe that. What about the Waltons on TV? I don't believe the Waltons either. Thank God some of the stuff is good, but you better stick with this. If it's just rocky roads, you know, sometimes we have ups, sometimes we have downs. See, notice this. Sometimes there's ups. I do not see any downs here. Look at that. Remember his covenant forever. You mean it'll still work? And guess what? It ain't but a few words. Well, I'll quote part of it. Genesis 12, chapter 1. God shows up to Abraham and he says, if you'll follow me, I'll bless you. Abraham says, okay. Man. Anyway, look at that. To 1,000 generations. We have counted the genealogies. If you look at Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam, it's, I think, 42 or 43. 43 generations since beginning of creation. And we've only been 2,000 years since Jesus. We ain't nowhere near 1,000 generations. See, he's not talking about individual people. He's talking about the line from Adam. Wow. His agreement with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, his confirmation to Jacob. Remember, Jacob just stumbled across being blessed. Everything he touched was like the little kid story we've read, you know, turns to gold. Wow. He promised to Israel with an everlasting promise, I will give you the land of Canaan as your inheritance. When Israel was few in number, oh so few, and merely strangers in the promised land. I mean, watch this. He's going to tell us history that we don't believe ever happened. Yeah, it did. When they wandered from country to country, from kingdom to kingdom, God didn't let anyone harm them. Boy, I could use some of that. Because here's my pistol. I'm doing the best I can. But what if somebody sneaks up on me? We're in a dangerous world today, just like they were. Look at that. God didn't let anyone harm them. Praise God. I heard something last night before I went to sleep. It was just the dishwasher. But I was fixing to go to sleep, and I heard this. Whoosh, I thought, and I listened to hear it again, you know, and I thought, oh, praise God. I ain't heard that sound before. And then I heard the ching, ching, and I thought, dishwasher, praise God. But these things will get you, you know, you worry about them. Look at that, even kings were killed who sought to hurt them. Praise God. Don't harm my chosen people, he declared. That's the reason you got to watch those preachers that are saying that sometimes God will allow a car wreck in your life and God will allow it. Don't. Why do we even need Psalm 91 if we hear that kind of stuff? Just might be good for me to have a car wreck. No. God didn't want you to have a camel wreck here. You know, gee. These are my prophets, touch them not. Now, notice he said people and prophets. A lot of times we go, well, the prophet is the holy one, and that's the only one God's going to protect. No, that's fake news, like we've learned so much in the last 4 years. Fake news. It's everybody. These are my prophets, touch them not. Now, he's talking about you and I, too. Sing to the Lord, O earth. Declare each day He's the one. Look at that. Cannot be heaven. That's today. Show His glory to the nations. Tell everyone, look at this. It's only one miracle. You're going to heaven. No, it's not. It's constant miracles. For the Lord is great and should be highly praised. But they wouldn't do it. And you and I won't do it either if we don't stick with it. He is to be held in awe above all gods. Do you see why it's so stupid if even the pressures that I have, and I just go, I just can't take it. I can't take it. I can't take my parents in. It's just, I just can't take it. Hopefully, if you guys heard I was acting like that, you'd, Richard, would you cut it out?
Oh, you're not being very passionate to me. I'm going through my problems.
Richard, do you not pay attention to what you preach?
Oh, but this is serious. This is my dad. I love him, and now he's lost his mind.
Thank God Janet's watching my mom. You know? No, my mom's doing good. I called her the other day, and we were chatting, and, you know, and, I mean, she knew Dad was going to be going down this route. But anyway, but praise God. But I couldn't be happier. But I can be sadder if I get off into this. I had another miracle happen. I got a new boss that came on at work, okay? And she was in a big staff meeting. We're all on the telephone. And she thought she overheard something that maybe the colonel didn't like about the way I was presenting something. And so she just jumped in all of a sudden and said, I'll get with Richard, and he and I will whatever. Well, then she wrote me this email that I'm pretty good with this, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I know what I'm doing. And I knew what the colonel was asking for, you know. But now I had to deal with that. I thought, oh, my gosh, I hope this person stays out of my... It really, you talk about, it's like, oh, man. I just thought, man, I got my world comfortable, and now all of a sudden this is going, oh, God. But same thing. Lord help. Anyway, it was so fantastic. Oh, they're not. They don't. I do so much. They don't want to mess with my stuff. I got them all. I got my stuff covered. And that person, my new, they're really not my boss, but they could influence a good bit. They know I got it covered. And anyway, I was so tickled. Talk about just a load off you. Praise God. All right. For the Lord's great. Yeah, that's where it ought to come out. Man, He is great. So that's the reason as a Baptist, I didn't think He was that great because they were telling me, He's going to do this to you, and He's going to do that to you, and you owe Him your life, and you owe this. And basically, you need to go to the preacher to get counseling whether or not you should get a job or not. And I'm like, God, this kind of stinks. And then I found out some other people that taught the Bible, and they were Baptists too. They were good Baptist people or whatever, and other people. And then I started going, whoa, He is great. He is to be held in awe above all gods. The other so-called gods, look at that. David knew, they're just demons. They're fallen angels, that's all they are. Look at that right there. But the Lord made the heavens. We're going to stop here at the end of this. Majesty, now that's so important. We need to know that He made it. Majesty and honor marched before Him. Strength and gladness walked beside Him. Well, what am I doing sad? What am I doing weak? Do you see where this is going? I don't see a pitfall yet. Except for me, if I ain't read that in 3 years. See, this is in the book of Psalms. If you had you would have seen it. If we all had our big leather Bibles today, when you got to that first verse, it would have said Psalm, it ain't 18, but it's one of them right there. Majesty and honor. Okay, we got it. Oh, people of all nations of the earth. Remember, that's everybody. Ascribe great strength and glory to His name. Yes, ascribe to the Lord. The glory due His name. Now, that doesn't mean something we can't do. Huh? What does that mean? No, ascribe. You know strength and glory are from Him, praise the Lord. He's got it, and He's going to help me, praise the Lord. He will. And then look at this. Bring an offering to you. Yeah, there's that old money stuff. No. Uh-oh. It ain't going to the preacher. Trust me, it ain't going to him. You know. Yeah, but I saw the guy on TV. He's filthy rich, and I watched Fletch the other night. I did too, Fletch. That's funny as all get out. Fletch, Chevy Chase, you know, that was so funny. It was, and you know what, even in that movie, they were making fun of some potential problems that somebody could have had. But it was still good because, you know, like I say, whatever. It was so funny. They had Fletch up there, they called his name, and Chevy Chase comes down there, and everybody's screaming, clapping for him, whatever. And the preacher puts his arm around Chevy Chase, and he says, admit to everybody that you're a sinner. And Chevy goes, well, Well, I've sinned, you know, I've sinned, and everybody's screaming, whatever, and Jimmy's going, thank you, like Elvis, thank you very much. I was so glad, even though they were making fun of it, they really weren't, because Chevy, if you've watched the movie, he was saying, well, I believe in a God that doesn't have to be funded, you know, well, that's true, he don't need to be funded. And they were making fun of what these people, they were building Bible land, it was going to be like Six Flags over the Bible, whatever, that kind of stuff. And there was some foul play behind it. I thought that was funny. Because you remember the saying, the next time he went to that church, he went to the control room. He said, hey, your wife called, the house is on fire. So Chevy gets down there and he's talking directly to the preacher. The preacher doesn't know it. There's a Billy Sanders in the office. Billy Sanders, stand up. And so Billy Sanders stands up and everybody's going, whoa. And he, Billy, you've got a problem. And Chevy knows the problem was he has hemorrhoids, you know. And he says, and Chevy's telling the preacher. The preacher doesn't know what it's. Chevy's setting him up. He's saying, just show it. Just show us all to the world. Show. And he's going, really? Yeah. Just share it to the Lord. And he pulls his. Golly, Bob. Oh, man. But, you know, they wouldn't be able to make fun of that if it wasn't real. You know, praise the Lord. So this part right here, oh, my gosh. You know, bring an offering and come before him. You know, the Bible is shorter than you think. That book in Malachi. Remember, the history is about the first 20 books. The rest of them are all the reporters, shall we say. I'm saying like a prophet that were reporting during that section. And one of them, Malachi, I think, says, bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. Bring so there will be food on the table. And I'll pour out a blessing that there's not enough room to receive it. That just can't be. Because I watched Chevy Chase. No, it is true. It is true. Yeah. A lot of those guys don't realize that. But it is true. Yeah. That's part of the, because he said to prove me in this. And I'll tell you, I was probably 19 years old till I finally let the Lord help me with my wallet. Because I was told by the preachers, God gave you a brain, don't bother him with your money. And I didn't know anything about the money in the Bible. Boy, I do now. Man, I tell you what. Remember Jesus saw that woman? He was standing by the treasury and he told his disciples, let's say it was Peter, James, and John. He said, see that woman? And they're going, yeah, that real poor lady. He said, she put in more than anybody else. And they're going, wait a minute. Because they probably saw it. She put in two little mites. And Jesus said, she gave all she had. Everybody else gave out of their abundance. I can afford to give 20 bucks. She gave all she had. What's interesting is Jesus knew it. And see, Jesus knows you too when you're going, I don't know how I'm going to make it this month, Lord. God. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go find somebody and I'm going to give it to them. Like David when he poured out that water. His men risked their lives to get that water from that well. And right in front of those men who risked their lives to get in that cup of water, what did he do with it? He didn't say, well, y'all worthless. No, he poured it out before the Lord. They knew it. They go, oh my God, I can't believe it. Because we gave him a great milkshake and he just gave it to Jesus. That's right. They knew the reality of Jesus to all of them. So anyway, bring an offering. I mean, like, oh yeah. Worship the Lord when clothed with holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world stands unmoved. Let the heavens be glad. The earth rejoice. That's why where we should be. Well, I'm not happy. You'll be happy if you get back to asking the Lord's help today. Let all the nations say, it's the Lord who reigns. Let the vast sea roar. Let the countryside and everything in it rejoice. Let the trees, remember this, you see where it's coming from? This is all in a psalm. The trees of the field, okay. The trees of the woods sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for he's good. Right there, pretty much tell us where this is in the book of Psalms. I'm not going to look it up, but anyway, nonetheless. His love and kindness go on forever. Cry out to him, oh, save God of our salvation. Now remember, well, you can tell by the next verse, this is not heaven. This is, whoa, King so-and-so threatened to kill us all. Don't worry. Bring us safely back from among the nations. Then we will thank your holy name. That sounds like a deal. It is a deal. If you've got a problem, tell the Lord. Lord, if you'll just get me home, I'll praise you forever. That's fine. He's not faking it. He'll get you home. And then you better praise him forever. And triumph in your praise. Blessed be Jehovah, the God of Israel, forever and forevermore. And all the people, look at that, shouted a woman. Oh, excuse me. That's what, what's his name, said this week. What a dummy. What an absolute dummy. It's got nothing to do with gender. Everybody shouted amen. Did you not hear that story? Chuck Schumer said at the end of a prayer, he said a woman this week. Idiots we have in Washington. But we don't need to be scared. We have the Lord, see? No matter. Anyway, so all the people shouted amen and they praised the Lord. David arranged for Asaph and his fellow Levites to minister regularly. We're going to keep this going. Doing each day whatever needed to be done. This group included Obed-Edom, the son of Soa, or whatever, Hoseth, and 68 other colleagues as guard. Meanwhile, the old tabernacle of the Lord on the hill of Gibeon continued to be active, so the other location they had was still operating. Let's see, what did he say do? David left Zadok the priest and his fellow ministers fellow priests to minister over there. Wow, okay, so they had a north and a south or something. They sacrificed burnt offerings to the Lord each morning and each evening upon the altar. Well, wait a minute, who sinned? We need a sacrifice all the time. Don't worry about your particular sin. You've made a mistake. Just always know God forgives you, okay? Okay, anyway. David also appointed Heman, Jaddath, whoever these names are, and several others who were chosen by name to give thanks to the Lord for his constant love and mercy. He doesn't love us. Yes, he does. Oh, my goodness. No wonder Jesus is called the Son of David. They used their trumpets and cymbals to accompany the singers and with loud praises to God. And these guys, this guy's sons were the guards. At last, the ceremony ended, the celebration ended, and the people returned to their homes. And David returned, look at that, to bless his own household. Wow. Wow. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you. Praise God. No matter what we're faced with, we know what to do. Our eyes are going to be on you. You're going to get us out of trouble if we're in trouble. And if we're doing good, we're just going to praise you because we know you're the God of all gods. You're the answer. Nobody else is. So, Lord, if we're not feeling good in our bodies, can you do something about our health? Yes, we know you can and you will. Praise the Lord. You're a savior. And the same thing's true financially. And the same thing's true no matter what kind of problem we face. You know, you're helping everybody in this room. We just thank you for it. So that doesn't leave anything left. But first, just go out there and tell everybody that what you've been doing for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, isn't that good? Praise God.